From the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs, with two-man coverage of the red and gold, this is the Locked On Chiefs Podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Welcome back. It's another beautiful day in Chiefs Kingdom, and all three of us are here to tell you that you should be happy with yourselves and with your team and where it's going, because training camp is only a couple weeks away. Is everybody ready?
Yeah, we are.
Yeah, I'm ready.
I sound more ready.
Obviously, I'm not as excited as Seth is, but to be fair, I've got a vacation in between now and training camp, so.
Oh, sure. Nice.
Some of us. That's a good distraction.
You know, I'm just, I don't have time for vacations, so, you know, I'm far too busy.
No, I get it.
I figured I'd just start off on an antagonistic note for no reason whatsoever. It seemed nice.
I like it. It's a good way to start. Yeah. Hey, folks, make sure you're checking out Seth over at, what is it, The Ringer? Oh, no, The Athletic, sorry.
It is The Athletic because I am not athletic, and so it all really corresponds. And, yes, please do check it out. So many people have, like, messaged me, and, you know, the Athletic isn't really built for, like, a huge comment section, but the comment section's starting to fill up, and people have been messaging me, like, oh, hey, I joined today. And I just wanted to say thanks because that's really, like, there's a lot of trust in doing that. And so, yeah, I just wanted to say that really quick because I've been really thankful lately for the number of people that are reaching out saying, oh, I figured I'd try it out just for you, and I love it, and all that fun stuff.
Well, that's awesome. And I have to say also, the reaction to RGR football has been great, folks, and I appreciate all your comments. We've been having a good time with that. So, and more is coming at Locked On Chiefs. Chris is running the ship over there. And,
he is.
You know, maybe he'll even let me write there sometimes.
Only when I have 2 weeks to edit beforehand.
Right, yeah. It's always a challenge.
It is.
Well, we have a couple of topics today for you guys that we've been talking through the weekend, and things have come up. If you missed the RGR video, it was on Kareem Hunt. And not to boil it down too far, but I know Chris and I talked about running backs a little bit, but as I went through my research on the backups and what I really think is going to happen and what the play call percentage was, I just want to ask you guys both flat out. Chris, in particular, can Kareem Hunt repeat as the NFL's leading rusher?
I don't expect it. And it's more because of who he's going to have behind him and because of the type of offense I think they're going to run, as opposed to his ability to do so. I do think he has the ability, but I don't expect them to run it enough to where he will have those kinds of that kind of yardage.
Is that, do you agree?
I'm back and forth on it. Here's my major issue with it. It summed up in two words is Spencer Ware.
Mm-hmm.
If Ware is healthy, Ware is a very, very good running back. He is a plus starter at the NFL level. And I just think he's going to siphon off more carries than got siphoned off last year. I like Sharkhendrick West a lot, but he is not on the same level of Ware in terms of running the ball. And so it would be tough. And much like Chris, I'm not sure the type of offense they're going to be running. On the flip side of that, if they run the type of offense I'm really hoping they're going to run, it could be kind of a weird yards per carry year for him, though. Like one of those, like, you know, 5.8 yards per carry type things. So that could be fun.
Well, sorry.
I was just going to say the other side of that is that you talk about having a healthy Spencer Ware. You know, that doesn't even count Damian Williams or –
right.
Or Kerwin Williams or, you know.
Some other Williams. I think it's Daryl.
Yeah, Daryl Williams maybe even.
Yeah.
I just think that they're going to have running backs that can do more than just run the ball. And I'm not saying Kareem cannot catch the ball. I'm just saying I think that he's not going to be on the field as much because the guys that they have behind him can fit specific roles that they want them to fit. Mm-hmm. And I think that's how the offense is going to look a little different as well.
I could see that.
Well, the interesting thing for me is that I went through the research and I checked specifically on Daryl of the three Williamses because I'm not quite buying into as much as most people seem to be that Spencer Ware's ready and fully recovered.
Sure.
I'm not sure he doesn't start on the pup.
Yeah.
So I started looking at what they can do both with this purported expansion of the running backs in the passing game and I have a feeling that as it goes, I think Kerwin Williams is a good pass catcher. I think he gives Sharkhendrick a run for his money. Mm-hmm. I like both Damian, who caught more passes than I think had carries. Yep. And man, as I looked at the film for Darrell Williams out of LSU, yeah, it reminded me specifically of Spencer Ware, because big body back, runs between the tackles well, can run the wildcat, and had all these similarities. And I wonder if Darrell's not the dark horse to make this team.
Well, I think the funny thing about that is that I can remember, was it 3 years ago, when Seth was trying to watch somebody else in the preseason and he kept talking about some bowling ball type running back. And I believe that ended up being Spencer Ware.
Yep. Mm-hmm. That he just popped off the screen, and that's what ends up happening. Yep. Sometimes, you know, with preseason, you see guys that's just like, they don't look like they belong out there with the second and third teamers. We saw it with Kareem Hunt last year, right? I mean, it was just like, this guy clearly can play. And so, yeah, that
I, not the flashes.
Yeah, I saw that with Ware, and I didn't know that about Darrell Williams, Ryan. So that's kind of cool. I haven't watched Darrell at all. I did do a film review on Damian Williams, and he can really run routes, out of the backfield. I mean, he's impressive. Like, he's a guy you could line up as a slot receiver. So I'm really curious about him too. But so, I mean, was Darrell a fullback at LSU too? Like, I mean, is this like a clone situation?
I wouldn't say he was a fullback. I mean, he got carries. He was the goal line back. But with Geis, it was a little bit of a trade-off. But, man, and there's a couple of clips in that video. And, folks, I'll have that linked up in the show notes. Some really long runs that despite – I think he ran like a 4.61 at the combine, sure, or whatever. Again, a lot like Kareem, yeah, Hunt. Not a speedy guy on paper. But when he hits the hole and he's got forward momentum, people reacting to him are a step behind, and he can gain some serious yardage.
That would be really unexpected and really cool, because I think everyone's already thinking it'll be one of the other Williams or West or Ware and all that. And I do think Ware didn't practice at all during OTAs, did he?
No.
Yeah, and so that's tough. I mean, he didn't sound super encouraged, if I recall, when they were talking, no, to him. And so I really hope, because, man, he got injured. It was real early in preseason.
Yeah, but his injury was a full year, is expected to be a full year to come back from. So it's not too surprising that he's not back yet.
Sure. I'm, yeah, so used to, like, the Eric Berry road to recovery and the Derek Johnson road to recovery that's like, oh, they're already back, by the way, you know, that. Because, you know, Eric Berry, I mean, you know, ACL tears, remember when those were a full year? And Barry's like, oh, yeah, OTAs, I'm fully participating. It's just like, to be fair, it's not okay for me to compare Spencer Ware to a metahuman like Eric Berry. That's not fair.
No, it's not.
But let me ask you this. If you looked at Damian Williams' tapes,
yep,
I theorize is I think it's down to him and possibly Shark Kendrick for who's going to be that pass-catching role. And I'm not so sure salary wise if we don't see Shark Kendrick being a guy who might be on the bubble.
Yeah, if
we've been calling that for 2 years now.
Sure. Yeah, that guy. They love him. He's a team guy. Everyone on the team loves him. He loves being a football player. He loves being a Chief. His backstory is incredible. He's a great teammate. You can't underestimate having guys like that in the locker room. We try so hard to, like, be objective that we tend to de-emphasize the human element. So that's important. But again, if his primary role is, you know, third down back, and they got a guy who's a little bit cheaper and they think can do it just as well, I like Shark Kendrick West. I really do. He might be a better blocker than Damian Williams, but I don't think he's a better route runner. I think Williams is better of the two of them.
But let's be fair about it as well. If you were the third string running back, because with all intents and purposes, Spencer Ware is number two, regardless of whether or not he's completely back from injury, and they bring in two other running backs plus a rookie that looks like he could play.
Yep.
I mean, you have to be thinking that,
yeah,
your time on the roster might be short.
Absolutely.
So, you know, we've been calling it for it for 2 years, but I would unless Spencer Ware is on PUP and they decide not to go with the rookie and Darrell Williams, I'd be surprised to see West on this roster day one.
Well, we'll find out more as it goes along. Let's take a quick second and we'll come back and talk some defense.
All right, so let's get into the fun topic of the day. Justin Houston.
Hey, I wrote something about Justin Houston.
Justin Houston versus Von Miller. I mean, you know, Von Miller is a much better player, right?
You know,
You're welcome, Seth.
This all started off with a 6'10 segment with Ronnie, the show. I mean, I really like him. I have a lot of fun with him. They ran a segment just talking about how Houston is now a good player, not a great one. And that kind of got turned into who's better, Von Miller or Justin Houston. I want to say first and foremost, Justin Houston doesn't have to be Von Miller rushing the passer to be a great pass rusher.
Absolutely not.
And that's where I think some of the conversation got a little side noted. And that wasn't his fault. It's just what happens when you're talking. This idea that Houston and Miller can't be great and Mac can't be great. You know, like there can only be one. This isn't Highlander.
Thank you for that reference.
Yes, there can only be one.
Hunter McClode of the Clun McClode.
Oh, good grief.
That was fantastic. I love that movie, so man. What's really been – this Justin Houston thing has been bugging me more and more this offseason. And I know – I wrote multiple articles on it when I was at Arrowhead Pride. I wrote a couple articles because people are like, oh, he wasn't making any impact plays. And so I wrote a couple – like an article just like showing – it was like in six different games. And this was without even trying. I found big plays that he made in the last minute. Justin Houston's the one who buried the Patriots. For starters, if you just want to start in week one, right? Justin Houston's the one who got pressure that managed to hit the ball. Now, to be fair, Wentz made a terrible decision that Chris Jones intercepted that led to the go-ahead touchdown. Justin Houston's the one that pressured Phillip Rivers into an interception in the must-win game that was basically for the division. He destroyed, and we're talking late in the season now, right? He destroyed the right tackle, and he's the reason, because he was crushing Phillip Rivers, that the ball got thrown up in the air. And Ron Parker intercepted it. There were multiple games. If you look at the first Chargers game as well, if you look at even the Redskins game, Kirk Cousins had a receiver streaking wide open down the field. And because Houston hit him as he threw, it went incomplete. And that dude was open.
Wasn't Houston also the reason that there was another interception in the first game against Rivers?
Yeah.
Wasn't he about to hit Rivers and Rivers floated the ball and I think Peters was the one that came down with it, but
it was probably the odds are good that it was Peters. Yeah. But I mean these plays, these non-statistic having plays, and so it's been driving me crazy. So and of course I'm just going on. Man, you pushed the right button there, Chris. Well done.
You're welcome.
So I wrote an article at The Athletic to talk about the primary reason that I'm seeing two reasons people are upset about Justin Houston or they think he's declined. And I'll talk about the statistical one. Then I want to talk about the other one because I want your guys' opinion on this too. Because I've been like just – I'm going way too deep here, guys. I'm going to need you to pull me back.
It's okay.
But Seth, okay. Seth, he looks quicker right pick on your GIF. And that was from 2014, right?
Chris, I swear to God. All right,
we can't see GIFs, folks, but check out Seth's timeline.
Check out my timeline to do this to think about the second topic we're going to talk about with Houston. First one, I wrote an article called here. Let me. The editors really came up with a great. I have like editors now. It's amazing, guys. So this is called.
I have one of those. His name's Chris.
I'm very sorry, Chris. I was Ryan's editor.
Oh, trust me. So am I.
Back in the day.
And Seth ran away from that very quickly.
I did. That was the sole reason. I'll tell you what. So the article is called "The Myth of Justin Houston's Allegedly Worrisome." And you can hear the quotes there. Worrisome 2017 sack stats. Because what ended up happening is people said, "Oh, he only had 9.5 sacks." Well, that's pretty average. He must be average. And that's where most people are starting from. And that's where you get into the other stuff. Oh, he must be slowing down a little. And next thing you know, it's truth. You all have read 1984, right? That's how this works.
Okay, but here's the thing. How many games did he have Frank Zombo starting across from him?
A lot.
Well, and here's the thing in this whole argument about him versus Vaughn. Vaughn only had 10, and he had nobody rushing across from me.
Exactly. This is what makes it so aggravating for me. We saw Von Miller take a step back statistically last season as the defense regressed without Wade Phillips and without DeMarcus Ware. We saw it. It's right there for people to see. Pass rushers.
People want to be pissed off because they think he makes too much money and he's not producing.
That is exactly it. And because he got hurt.
And I'm sorry, but you have to look at the entire scenario, and I've said this multiple times on Twitter, arguing with different people, if he doesn't have anybody across from him that's providing any type of pass rush, good luck with him getting a good pass rush.
Right. And it's not just about
they can avoid him.
It's not just about people across from him either. It's the entire line.
Well, true.
It's the same reason people think Chris Jones didn't take a step forward last year. The Chiefs, outside of Jones and Houston, they had nothing. No one was rushing the passer. Once Dee Ford got hurt.
I thought he had a sophomore slump.
Yeah. Oh, God. We already addressed that one. I will not be baited. I'll probably be baited. So here's the thing I wanted to talk to you guys about. So the start of a lot of these concerns for people, if you ignore the whole they're mad at his contract, which, hey, I'm not a big fan of the contract either, okay, for almost any defensive player. Or maybe they're mad that he was hurt for – he wasn't even hurt for a couple of years. He had the same injury, and it was a really bad timing. But anyway, so I went back, and I was like, okay, 15 games, 9.5 sacks. That's not great. And so I thought to myself, you know, well, what we're assuming when we say that that's worrisome is that for some reason that's bad or unusual for a great pass rusher to have that many sacks. And so what I did in this article is so he had 0.63 sacks per game. So I went to the top 20 list of all-time sack leaders in history, okay? And I looked at their prime years. I threw out their rookie year. And I threw out any year past year 9 in their career because, you know, I wanted to make this not like, you know, he's slowing down or he's just a rookie. And I looked at how many of them, and here I'll ask you guys, maybe if you've read the article, I suppose this isn't going to be like a moment, but what percentage of them do you think had at least one season during their prime years where they had under 0.63 sacks per game?
It's got to be all of them, right?
It's close to all of them. If you look through the 20, there are 85% of them, all but three, had at least one season. And then the vast majority of them, all but I think it's six, had multiple seasons like that. For example, you know Michael Strahan had 5 seasons?
That's that?
Yeah.
He hasn't been producing since he got injured.
Fortunately, I looked at that too. You know,
I have one comment to make.
I want to hear it. I'm sorry.
And I just want to say 76.7. According to PFF, that's the percentage of pass rush snaps that he took on passing downs.
Good God. 76.7. And that's a higher number than what I found in the games I reviewed. And we might have different. Yeah, we might have a little different.
And what was Von Miller's?
93.3.
Thank you.
So there you go.
What is that? An extra 90, 100 snaps? And Von Miller played an extra game. I mean,
yes, and people that say he did not play in that Week 17 game very much, go back and watch it again. He played
half the snaps.
Yep.
So here's the deal. Top 20 guys, and this is just the point of it overall. Did you know, I'll use Derek Thomas. In his prime, Derek Thomas had 2 different seasons where he had a lower sack per game total than Justin Houston did last year. But people are saying, oh, man, it just shows there's something wrong.
Question. Was Neil Smith gone during those years?
I didn't even start to stack them up. I think one of them he was in a new defense, if I'm remembering. I think it was 95 or something like that. No, 95 was the year he went off. I can't remember which year it was. And so, but it obviously affects you, the people you have around you. And just for what it's worth, and this is the last thing I'll say about this because I know I'm just burning up way too much time. But the claim that he is somehow hasn't been productive since he got injured, what I did is I looked at the same measure, sacks per game, and I had a few other people send me a list of who they think the best pass rushers are in the NFL now, right? And I charted their sacks per game since Houston got hurt, and I charted his sacks per game since he got hurt. That's 0.68 is where Houston is at. And so okay. This is like, you know, Von Miller, Khalil Mack, Chandler Jones. Someone said J.J. Watt, and I actually end up throwing him out because he's at 0.19. So whatever. Joey Bosa, Melvin Ingram. I mean, like, for example, a lot of people, oh, yeah, Melvin Ingram's a great pass rusher. He's at 0.58. Cameron Wake is 0.67. Everson Griffin is 0.68, identical to Houston. Ezekiel Ansah is 0.52. Cam Jordan is 0.64. DeMarcus Lawrence is 0.62. Now, he had 4 guys that were above him. Miller and Mack is below him. Mack is 0.67. Von Miller's above him. Chandler Jones, who just went off the last 2 years, is above him. Joey Bosa is above him. and Ryan Kerrigan, who is always underrated, by the way.
Yeah, he does not get credit.
And so if you look, Houston, of the top pass rushers, he was fifth in terms of sack per game productivity in these off years.
Do you know what Miller's was last year?
It was lower than Houston's because he had 10, but he played in 16 games.
Right. So I
don't recall what it was, though.
My point is Joey Bosa's got Melvin Ingram. Von Miller has had
0.63.
DeMarcus Ware most of the time. Who's another one that was above him?
Another one who was above him? Let me remind myself here. Ryan Kerrigan, who has had good pass rushers opposite him a couple years now. He had Preston Smith last year and Junior Gallette.
Right, and then there was one more, wasn't there? Oh, Khalil Mack. Chandler Jones. Yep. He's been on multiple
Jones
teams.
And Jones he's been on multiple teams, and he had multiple years, you know, because I looked at them too. You know, Chandler Jones, he's got a year with less than that, with the 0.63 game, per game. Von Miller has 2 years like that. I mean, it's just the statistical analysis people are using is flawed. They're assuming there's a problem, but it's not a problem. It's historically almost inevitable. Now, we'll see what happens in 2018 because this isn't predictive, but the idea that Justin Houston's stats in 2017 were worrisome is just not reflective of what history tells us. It's an assumption that's just wrong.
Well, the stats might not reflect it, but he looks slower. So, I mean, there's that.
Oh, okay. You know what? I know we have to take a break, and I don't want to like just say I'm going to do something, but I think right after this break, I'm going to ask you guys a few questions. Is that all right with you? Let's do that. Okay. We have to pay bills. We'll be right back, and then I'm going to interrogate Chris because he set me off for the last time. All right, we're back, and Chris's moment of comeuppance is coming. No, I'm kidding. I'm not even mad at you, Chris. So, Chris, everyone in the world knows you're saying things just to try to bug me right now.
No.
And it worked.
And I'm sure, trust me, I'm sure I'm going to hear about it on Twitter. So,
why is Chris such a hater? So, okay, Chris, so let me ask you, have you heard the narrative that – let me say it. You started to say it. What were you saying about Houston?
He's slower.
Right. Ryan, have you heard people say that too?
I have heard it.
I've heard it a lot too. And here's the deal. I don't know for a fact, right? I mean, unlike the statistical argument, that's something worth looking at. Like if someone just says, oh, he's clearly worse. Well, why?
But let me ask you this question. And in 2019, the Chiefs can technically start getting out of Justin Houston's deal if they want to. But here's my question to both of you. If they got rid of him in 2018, where would they be? I mean, because people talk about them getting rid of Justin Houston because he's not worth the contract. Okay, where's their defense going to be?
They'd be picking in the top 12. Stupid.
Top five.
I would be irate if they did that because I think they've got a shot this year. I really do. I believe in Mahomes. I believe in the offense they have set up, and I really do like some of the changes they made on defense. I think they cut a lot of the fat off the defense. And
if you don't have that pass rusher, you're not going to have a successful defense, and your corners are going to struggle. I don't care if you have three Marcus Peters on the field.
Right. Well, it just creates a problem. We saw last year the pass rush took a step back because you just had two guys. Now you're removing one of those two guys. And it can get worse. What was it? Was it 2009 where the team as a whole had 10 sacks? No, that was like 2005 or 2000. No. What year was that? You remember that? The year of 10 sacks?
Yeah.
It's so much worse.
Not only that, you're talking about against the pass. Think about how bad they'd be against the run.
Ugh.
Without Houston.
Well, he's a black hole against the run. So here's what I wanted to talk to you guys about. Did you guys see, and anyone who's listening, go to my Twitter feed, and it's a pretty recent tweet. You're going to have to sift through some Mitch Moore stuff because I'm reviewing his film because, you know, he's my 40-year-old son and I love him.
Aw.
And also, I think he's going to have a great year, but that's a whole other separate issue.
And his wife has some words to say to you about that.
You know what? She just is jealous of what Mitch and I have. Anyway.
Oh, let's just stop.
Yeah, let's cease and desist before it stops being funny.
Before it gets weird.
Yeah. Thank God we stopped in time. So if you go to my Twitter feed, it's only one GIF right now. It's a side by side GIF, and what I have, it's It's Houston executing what you might call a crossover, what you might call an inside-outside fake. I don't really care what you call it. He's basically executing. He's on the edge, rushing off the left side, executing a fake where he fakes inside, then fakes outside, then fakes inside again. It's just basically a juke, a stutter step. And I've got side-by-side, they're identical moves, though that's – some people have contested that. I'm sorry. They're identical moves. One's from 2014, one from 2017. Have you guys looked at that?
Yeah, 14's on the right because he's quicker.
That was what
– Incorrect.
Ryan, will you help me out?
Oh, come on. You both know I know
yeah,
better.
Yeah, I know.
I knew better the second I saw the GIF because I saw who he's playing right. against – And I knew when they played yeah. him. So,
yeah.
you know, y'all say what you want about me and badger me on Twitter about it, but I've been joking this whole time. So just want to throw
He's
that out
just
there.
Claiming okay. that. I messaged him in the recording, so now he knows. I'm kidding. I swear, people, I am kidding about that. But here's – so what I did is I showed it to my wife because she doesn't have any skin in the game, and she has no idea who the Chiefs played last year. And her response, I said, hey, look at Justin Houston. Which year do you think was 2017? She looked at him for a minute because she loves me, so she humored me. She goes, I think it was this one. She pointed to the one against Dallas. I said, well, why is that? She said, well, he's older in 2017, and so in this one, he looks a little quicker. So I think this is when he was younger. Note that was the 2017 one.
Yeah, by the way, it's quite obvious your wife loves you. You ask her what she wants to for her birthday, and she gives you a big screen TV.
Yeah, that out she there. Did.
I want one of those.
Yeah, I married up, man. I've been using it as my computer screen when I do film review, and I'm never going back.
Well done. Don't do it. I put the draft board up.
And so I'm curious, you know, if either of you guys have had an opportunity, because I feel like I've been taking crazy pills. I'm looking at these GIFs side by side, and most people are like, yeah, it looks identical. But I'm having some people still saying, oh, no, he definitely – it's different. Can you help me out? Are you guys seeing him slower?
No. If anything, he looks a little quicker to me in that frame from Dallas of 2017. And here's the thing. We don't know when these are. You know, it could have been an overtime game in 2014, and he still looks just as good or nearly as he did last year. I don't see any difference, and I'll take it too that depending on situationally where you're lined up, wide nine versus a standard stance, and you're going against a tight end, one of them, whatever, tight ends are quicker too, so you got to be quicker when you're out there anyway.
Right. And I'm actually thinking about doing a little deeper dive because who knows, maybe he is slower. I saw a couple games last year where I thought maybe he was struggling with injury. And Ryan, I think we talked about it here, all the three of us, mm-hmm. that he didn't seem like he was using the edge the way he normally does.
Yeah.
But that was not the whole season. And that's what
driving
me crazy. And so I went back and I've watched some of his 2014 film. And I got to tell you, he looks like the same guy. Like you hear people describe 2014 Houston, like he was like, you know, Von Miller meets Reggie White.
Well, see, and that's the thing that I made a comment
and
on.
By the way, I want to throw this out there for everybody. I want to throw this out there for everybody. That tweet that Seth is talking about is from July 7th at 10:03 a.m. You can go back and look at it.
That's central.
You're welcome.
Well, and I want to make one comment about that, too, because – The concept about who's quicker and who bends the edge better, Von Miller bends the edge better, period.
Yes.
Folks, it's never been a contest.
Never.
Justin's game and Von's game are not the same.
They never have been. And that includes in 2014 where Houston still primarily, he did not usually win as a speed rusher around the edge. He won with a series of moves and counter moves. And here's the interesting thing, and this is one final thing I want to leave with this topic. We're assuming that Houston like must have done something better physically that year. One, he still had prime Tom Bahali rushing from the other side. Two, that mm-hmm. was arguably Dontari Poe's best season as a pass rusher. That makes such a huge difference. And here's the other thing.
Okay, but here's my thought. I'm going to go look. Okay, so if Von Miller rushed, what, 95% of the time?
Yep. Let's not do math on here.
But here was my final point.
I hate you all.
Von Miller has – I'm waiting with bated breath to hear the math. In the meantime, I'll fill the time because, silences make me uncomfortable. I'm too weak.
Well done.
The – the something Von Miller said actually about Houston stuck out to me. It was just in a side note where Miller, and I think it was last summer or maybe it was earlier this year, I don't remember. He had like a camp where pass rushers got together. You remember that by any chance?
Yep.
Yeah, he had like this camp that some pass rushers came and got together. And he talked about trading secrets. And one of the things he said, and it's just like in 2014 when Houston came up with that two-handed down slap, you know, whatever he called it. And he said, and no one could defend it. You want to look where Houston got most of his sacks that year? It was a specific move that no one was ready for.
I love that.
Yeah.
Do something new and different. Put everybody on their heels.
Exactly. And because of his combination of speed and power, which I believe still exists, people just couldn't handle it. And so, anyway, it's a long road to a short thought. But Houston's been on my mind a lot lately. And so I'm really curious, you know, people that tweet at the show or tweet at me, what you think. Like, look at those gifts side by side. Are they different? Are they the same? And I might take a look at a few more just to see, because I'm ready to be wrong on this. I really am.
Yeah, let's find out. Real Minnesota Chiefs fan, you know that. It's also at Locked On Chiefs, a tweet back there.
Real quick, I know we got to wrap, and I just want to say this because I've been sitting here doing math, trying to figure this out. So if Justin Houston rushed as much as Von Miller did, 95% of the time, roughly, he would have had 11.5 sacks instead of 9.5 sacks.
That's
based on his sack production.
Yeah. And also, did you know Houston had a sack taken away from him because of a penalty that was called away from him, right? It's just hilarious to me. That's why you can't rely on such tiny numbers.
And by the way, I know we have to go, but I do want to give a big shout out. You guys need to be listening tomorrow. We are going to have Matt Waldman on. We are going to be talking about Patrick Mahomes and Sammy Watkins. Nice. So you're going to want to not miss that show. And real quick, Seth, before it happens, do you think the Chiefs make a move in the supplemental draft?
I hope they do. I think they need help at corner, and there happen to be a pair of corners who I think could really help the team. And then plus, that'll give me some film to review.
Yeah, you think they'll go for a second?
That's for Beal, they're thinking would be later, right? And Adonis or whatever.
No, Beal's, they're talking about him being a second-round pick.
Really? See, I haven't reviewed any of his film at all, so I wouldn't know. I do know that I trust Brett Veach, so if he goes on it, I'm going to assume that that's one of his guys. And I'd be excited about that.
And we'll have to have you do the film.
That sounds like fun.
Yes,
we sounds like a lot of fun.
Folks, with that thought, it is a wrap. Tomorrow is supplemental draft day, and we will be back with you after the Waldman episodes and everything else. Look forward to it. We're talking a lot of Pat Mahomes, and Seth is doing a lot of work. So until next time, we will talk to you tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to the Locked On Chiefs podcast. While you're out there, give us a rating or review. And reach out to us on Twitter @RyanTreseyNFL and @ChrisClarkNFL. We'll talk to you next time.